if you have access to the scriptures, I would invite you to turn to the first chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, of course, is one that automatically we think, oh, okay, it's a book of leadership, but actually it's much more than that. That's actually kind of a sub-theme in the book of Nehemiah. The real theme overall, like a lot of the Old Testament, by the way, is seeing how a great sovereign God works through people, common people, people who are willing to be used. And I think if we try to look at the or interpret the Old Testament theocentrically, it will open itself up greater to us to realize it's not just a compendium of biographical stories or Aesop's fables type stories. It's seeing how a great sovereign God works through people like you and myself. But there's something about the book of Nehemiah that maybe we don't think about, and that is what a great man of prayer he was. There are approximately 11 prayers that are identified within the book of Nehemiah. Some are very short, others are slightly extended, and we obviously don't have the time within the scope of this prayer meeting to look at all of them. So I'm going to focus on one, which is in the very first chapter. And so I want to read the passage to you, and then I want to talk about it in the time that we have here together. So if you're there, chapter 1 will begin in verse 4, where it says, "So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant in mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Now, there is a lot in that prayer that we could flesh out that we don't have time to this afternoon. But I want to share with you five characteristics of that prayer real quick. But there's two kind of overarching principles that run through Nehemiah regarding his prayer and the prayers that he will so often employ as he's doing this great task before the Lord. And there's two principles. Number one is that true believers, and especially leaders, bathe everything in prayer. And I think that's something that we see not only in Nehemiah, but throughout the scriptures. True believers, and especially leaders, bathe everything in prayer. And then the second principle that I think is very important for all of us, and that is prayer should never be a last resort, but rather our first resource. In other words, we shouldn't wait till we get in trouble or there are difficulties or there are things that come up in our life, and then we decide to intensify our prayer life. I think the intensity of our prayer life should be there as a first resort. And it certainly was for Nehemiah. He didn't wait till he got into an emergency situation. He always prayed beforehand, not after the fact. And I think that's a very interesting concept, and I hope that we would do the same. But let me just give you these characteristics real quick. First of all, we notice in verse 4 that he was broken in spirit. You notice it says that he wept, he mourned, and he fasted. And you know, it's very interesting, folks, that sometimes God must break us before he can truly use us. And we don't like that idea. We kind of cringe or we recoil from that thought. But it's very true. And I think many who have been in ministry many years can attest to that fact, that sometimes God has to break us personally in our lives and spiritually as well before he can use us. In fact, there's a quote, and I don't know if I have it exact, but A.W. Tozier says something very similar to that. He says, before God can use a man, he has to break him or hurt him, is that I think the word he uses. Now, that seems harsh and cold, but again, I think it's very true, and many of you probably, again, could testify to that fact. The second thing we see as a characteristic of his prayer is the adoration of God. And in that verse 5, he talks about the fact that God is, and he uses a word, at least in my translation here, that he was awesome. I know that word has become somewhat cliche, unfortunately, but we need to consider and ponder when we pray that we're praying to a very awesome and good God. One of the things that I would challenge all of us, and I challenge myself, in fact, I've challenged my folks in our church over the years, and that's this, is maybe at times in your own personal prayer life, take the time to pray a prayer to God, just telling him how wonderful and awesome he is, how much you love him, without asking him for anything. Now, that's a challenge. Again, don't get me wrong this afternoon. I'm not saying that we shouldn't petition God for things. In fact, we'll see that Nehemiah does that. But I think a good exercise in our prayer life is to simply commune with God at times and just say, Lord, I love you. I just want to spend this entire time of prayer telling you how great you are, how wonderful you are, how much I love you, and just do that. And I think that's a good exercise for us every once in a while. Anyway, an adoration of God, that's a part of our prayers. Confession of sin in verses 6 and 7, and he's very transparent here, isn't he? He talks about the sins that he and his forefathers are guilty of. He's not trying to hide anything. And again, I would say this, is that confession of sin needs to be a part of our personal prayer on a daily basis. Because, as we all know, we fall short of God's glory each and every day. And so confession of sin is a very important part of, as the saying goes, you know, keeping those short accounts with the Lord. I think that's important. And I think we need to make sure that we're doing that. Let's see. Number 4 is he offers a plea to God in verses 8 and 9. And it's very interesting. He in essence, Nehemiah is praying God's word back to him. In other words, what he is reminding the Lord, and I use that word carefully, but he's saying, Lord, you have told us that if we obey, or excuse me, if we disobey your word, there's going to be a curse and there's going to be judgment. And that's exactly what had happened by this time in the history of Israel. And then he says, but Lord, you also said that if we will obey your commandments and your statutes and your precepts and so forth, that you will bless us. And Lord, I'm here pleading with you that this take place with our people if we turn back to you. You know, again, one good exercise in our prayers, and I know some of you probably already do this, is praying God's word back to him. And some of the Psalms are very good for that. And I think, honestly, dear ones, the Lord loves to hear his word prayed back to him. And that's what Nehemiah was doing here in this plea in verses 6 and 7. And then lastly, there is a petition to God. And in essence, he says, Lord, please remember your redeemed people. Lord, keep us in mind. Lord, keep us in the thoughts that you have to bless us. Lord, your redeemed people. Lord, please do this. And he prays, and this is interesting, isn't it? He prays for himself. Sometimes maybe we're a little bit reluctant to pray for ourselves. And certainly we should not pray to the Lord in any selfish manner. But we do find through these prayers in Nehemiah that he does pray for himself. He says, Lord, remember your servant. And he was referencing himself and saying, Lord, just be mindful of me. Lord, hear. Lord, and help us as we go about this great task. And so I think those are five characteristics of Nehemiah's prayer that often should be in our prayers as well. And so I think this is a man that we can certainly learn leadership. We can certainly learn wisdom. But I would challenge you maybe to go back on your own and do a study on the prayers of Nehemiah. I think your heart would be encouraged and your mind would be enlightened by just what a man of prayer he really was. And again, I think that's why he was such a success before the Lord, is because prayer for him was a priority. And so I hope that'll encourage your heart today. Again, I enjoy being with brothers and sisters in Christ who love the Lord and who are men and women of prayer. And so may the Lord bless you.